Can anyone remember what last week's service was about? It was David.
Ooh.
Vision.
Oh. Sorry?
Transformation, yes. Do you remember what it was completely relating to, the Bible verse?
Ah, got you on one of them at least.
The Great Commission. Vision. It was all about vision. Do you have a vision? Think about that for a minute. Do you have a vision? Not for the church, not for taking over the world and becoming the president. And we all know how easy that is. But do you have a vision for your life, for your family, for your work, for your service for God? What's your personal vision? As last week said, it was about the Great Commission. Going out into all the world, proclaiming the name of Jesus. Something that we find difficult sometimes. And do you remember the tagline that David used? Open your eyes, God supplies. I always open my eyes and see what's in front of me. And I think, we can't do it with that. I'm dreadful for that. I really am. And I really struggled when I was the treasurer in this church, because I used to look at the bank account and say, we can't do it. But God supplies. Open your eyes, God supplies. So what do you think we're going to be talking about today? Vision. We're going to be talking more about vision. What do you think about when you think of vision? What are the first things that come into your head? First thing that comes into my head is my eyes. I'm getting old. I'm slightly over 21 now. And this eye is starting to get pretty poor. My vision isn't as it used to be. Seeing things is vision. I love climbing mountains. I love going, well, when I say mountains, big hills like Snowdon and things like that. I love going up them, because when you look around, everything in your vision is wonderful and perfect. You can't see a telegraph pole anywhere. You can't see villages anywhere. All you see for the whole of your vision, 360 degrees, is perfection, how God wanted it to be. And I love climbing up really high and looking out over this beautiful creation that God has made. So for me, vision means eyes. But what do you think about vision? For some people, it's family. You either have a family and that is all that consumes your vision. Everything you have inside you is about your family. And that's right. That's wonderful. Because God loves family. I would have loved a family. But that is not my vision. For many people, your vision is the next rung up the ladder. In work and in your current status, that you want to be just slightly higher. You're looking at the person above in the slightly bigger office and think, what can I do to get there? Many Christians, that's not an enormous problem, but for so many people in the world, that is all that consumes them. Everything they do is about the next rung up the ladder, and people step over people and put people down and say bad things about people just so that they can get up that next rung of the ladder. That is their vision. Everything about them is that next step. But when we talk about vision over the next, like last week and the next couple of weeks, what we're talking about is this: direction. Where we want to go, what we want to see happen, and how we're going to get there. It's about direction. Today, David was preparing the sermon, the series for this month, and gave me one verse to preach on. I never normally preach on one verse. It's difficult because you've got to get so much out of about 10 words. And it's this: people without a vision perish. That's from Proverbs 29, verse 18. So we're going to look at that one verse. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, people perish. Do you have a vision? You'll see that this is from the New King James Version, and I've often said while I'm up here that I always go from the Nearly Infallible Version, the NIV. And that says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraints. That's a bit different, isn't it? Practically, completely different translations. They don't even look anything the same. So which one's right? And more importantly, which one's wrong? You can't say which one's wrong. It's the Bible. The reason there's such a difference is because of two words. The first word is this: perish. No, vision. See, my eyes are not playing, not good. The first one is vision. The Hebrew for the word vision is not translatable in English exactly. So it's a little bit vague as to how you translate it. The second word is this: perish. And we're going to quickly look at those two words and see that both of those translations are right. I bet you're pleased about that. I'm not saying that the Bible's wrong. So let's look at the first word, vision. I'm going to really impress you now. The Hebrew word, the Hebrew word for this is chasm. If there are any Hebrew scholars around, please forgive my pronunciation. If you really want to be a Hebrew scholar, it's that. It's posh, isn't it? That's what that word is, vision. But what does it mean? Why does one verse say vision and another one say revelation? Well, it's this. A description of the word chasm is this: divine communication in a vision, an oracle, a prophecy, a divine vision. So when you look at the King James where it says vision, that's right. And when you look at the NIV that says revelation, that's also right. Revelation is an inspired understanding of God's heart, a passionate understanding, a revealing of what God has in a vision. So both translations are right. But what does vision mean? I could have vision about the colour of these walls and think yellow is not the right colour. We could have vision about this carpet and think we need to get a new carpet. But that's not vision. That's just fabric. That's just stuff. Vision is much more than just the stuff that we see, the things that are around us. It's a divine vision of God. The word chasm is used 23 times in the Old Testament, and 20 times they're used by the prophets. 20 out of 23. This is a huge word. It's seeking the will of God. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be seeking the will of God for this church. So that's vision. You can see the difference with the NIV and the King James. They're both right. It's a divine, inspired vision, a vision from God. So let's look at this word then, perish. Yapora, probably. Yapora is to run wild. Now the NIV says to throw off. That's right. But how on earth does the King James get perish about running wild? It's running wild. Do whatever comes to mind. Be totally free and unbound. That sounds quite fun. I want more of that. To run wild. So how does it become perish? Exodus used that same word in Exodus 32:25. And it says to be out of control. And when you look at the context of what it was saying in Exodus, it's this. Do you remember when Moses went up the mountain and was up there for ages? And the people wanted something to lead them. And Moses wasn't there anymore. So what did they do? They did what every Christian would do. They made a golden calf and worshipped it. They were completely out of control. They wanted a leader and their leader was gone. They were out of control and out of the will of God. They were outside his will and his plan. They were out of control and they were going to perish. If we live like that, if we live without bounds, we will perish. And that's why the King James puts it as perish. So those without a vision will perish. When we look at these translations again, we can see it's more than just this. People without a divine, inspired wisdom, vision from God, an understanding of God's heart, will inevitably run outside of his control, outside of his plan, outside of God's desire, and will ultimately perish. So we don't want that. We don't want that. We want to have a vision from God and we want to follow it. How on earth do we receive God's vision? Some of you may have noticed that I've been away for a little while. I went away for 2 weeks and I went away with one purpose in mind, and this was not because of this series. I went away to get a vision from God. Because I feel that I am being torn in several different directions and I don't know where I need to go. So I went with a vision from God. I went for a vision from God. How do we receive a vision from God? Wouldn't it be lovely if it was by email? We could just send him an email and here, send us a reply straight back. Wouldn't it be fabulous? I heard a few chuckles when I said that, and I'm pleased you did, because I want to challenge you this week. Homework. We all like a bit of homework, don't we? Write an email to God about the vision for you, what you would ask God if he had an email address. What would it be? How would you word it? Would it be a shopping list of all the things you want? So try that, an email to God. Unfortunately, you may have noticed, it's not an email. I went away with a plan. I went away for 2 weeks to do nothing else but to walk around beautiful countryside, to sit and pray, to read the Bible, to spend time. I went to a place where I knew that there was no mobile signal, no mobile phone signal. Oh, it was lovely. It was bliss. I could focus on what I wanted to focus, and that was getting a vision from God. But guess what? He didn't answer me. I went with a plan, but God didn't have the same plan. I went with clear ideas of what I wanted. But guess what? His ideas were different. I went with my thoughts, but he had other ideas. So I went knowing what I wanted, and I came back with a load of other stuff that I probably need to really start looking at. Because I went with my ideas, but God had his. And I believe I came back hearing from God, just not in the way I wanted. But I'm so pleased he did. He answered me the way he wanted to. So how do we hear from God? How do we receive from God? The first one is take time. I hear this so often. Whoa, we're so busy. How do I get time? I can spend 10 minutes just before I go into the shower and I spend some time with God. No. I was told once, years and years ago, that if you want to spend time with God, book it in your calendar. And I thought, what a load of rubbish. Why would you book a time with God in your calendar? If you don't know, other things creep up. Other things get in the way. I was able to spend hours and hours with God over the last couple of weeks because there was absolutely nothing else to do. No television, no mobile, no games, nothing. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. The first couple of days, it's like, well, what do I talk about? But then after that, you find an understanding. You get a connection with God and you just can't stop. I nearly missed dinner once. And for me, that's huge. Because you get involved with God. You really get involved. Take time out. Listen. Listen. Sometimes absolutely nothing you hear. And your mind wanders off onto something. Have I put the cat out? Your mind wanders. But listen to God. Because in something, there will be God's quiet voice, his still voice. There will be something that people say to you that will, oh, I just read about that today. There will be something that God brings to mind. Obviously pray. But not sitting down with your hands together, giving God a shopping list of the things that you want. That's not what praying is about. I was challenging the young people when we were talking about prayer. How would you text your mates? That's how we need to be contacting God. That's how we need to be talking to God during the day. Just quick prayers. Lord God, thank you that the traffic lights are green. Just thank you prayers of what God is doing for you right now. Not a shopping list of the things that we want, because so often the things that we want are not what God wants. And I found that out over 2 weeks. And the Bible talks about earnestly seeking. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a vision. Yeah, that'd be cool. No. Earnestly seek what God has in store for you. You may think as you sit in your chairs that, oh, God can't use me. I'm not very good. I've got nothing to offer. Good. That's what God wants. You've got nothing to offer apart from willingness. God desires people that will give their time, their effort, and give of what they haven't got so that God can use them in different ways. So we mentioned our vision. Can anyone remember what our vision is? The vision, and you're not allowed to answer because you was involved in it. The vision that we as a church came up with 3 years ago, where we were seeking the will of God. And we came up with a vision, a tagline. Can anyone remember what that was? It was shown by David last week. Oh, I can hear some mumbling. And beyond. The BBBB. But it also started SST. Spiritual and social transformation. Can you imagine what would happen if that really started to take effect in this place? Where people outside were starting to get transformed spiritually and in their social thinking. Just in Belvedere, the difference would be massive. And just in Belvedere would filter out to Bexley. And as Bexley gets taken up in spiritual and social transformation, so would Britain. And so would beyond. As people are being sent out because they've got a passion for something else. Do we want to see spiritual transformation in this world? I can't think of a better day to preach this on when we've just had the Remembrance Sunday. Where there is a need so deep in people's hearts where fighting is the only option. where we have to fight to get our land, where we have to fight because someone said something that they don't like. We need transformation in this place. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at how we can achieve that as a church. And you are important to that. Every one of you. And if you're thinking, well, not me, you're wrong. God wants all of us to be involved, in his plan. Our vision. God supplies according to our vision. I said at the start, I struggle. I struggle to see beyond what we've already got. When I was away, I was sitting next to a bloke and we got talking over breakfast. And I found out that he was one of the leaders in the Woolwich Church, you know, the big cinema Woolwich Church. When the cinema went up for auction, the leader, as in our David, was off in Australia. But he had a vision, the church had a vision. And they had been talking about different things. They had been talking about this vision for months and months and months. And when this cinema went up, they couldn't contact the leader. So this man, one of the elders, went to the auction and bidded and kept bidding and kept bidding. Eventually this place sold for £460,000. They needed to have 10% on the day that they needed to pay. Unfortunately, their bank account had less than £40,000 in it. Yet he bidded for nearly £500,000. He's mad. He's absolutely crazy. But he had a vision. He had a vision that was bigger than his own, that was bigger than his bank account, that was bigger than anything that they had ever had. It consumed every element of their life. He got on the phone, he raised the extra couple of £1,000 that he needed to put the 10% down. And they now own that place because they had a vision. You could say it was mad. You could say it was folly what he did, especially that the fact that the main leader wasn't there. But the church had a vision and they drove and they went for it and they did everything to fulfill that vision because it was from God. Vision should be all-consuming. It should be something that we don't ever stop thinking about. How we drive this forward, how we see God's vision for our church and for our lives fulfilled. The Bible doesn't speak favourably about doing things half-heartedly, about being lukewarm. In fact, it speaks quite harshly about it. If we all had a vision of for our life that we felt was God's, that we felt was so important, that we would drop everything, the pearl of great price. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you." Anything that you feel is good and right and something that you need, seek first his kingdom, and all of those things will be given to us. Vision should motivate us. Young children, if you're a parent, young children are extra good 2 weeks before Christmas because they've got a vision. It might be a short-term vision, but they've got a vision. And Santa doesn't give to bad kids. So they're really good because they can see the presents under the tree. We should be the same. We should be the same. We struggle as a people, as definitely I struggle with this, to pray for ourselves. God bless me. No, people don't normally pray that, but we should. God desires to bless us. God bless me. Pray it. The vision that God has given us should motivate us. And finally, if we are to believe that proverb. Those without a vision perish. We have to also agree that those that have a vision live. And I don't mean exist. I don't mean just are alive, but really live. Live what God has for us. The passions that he has for us. His heart that cries out will be our heart. The eyes that see the injustice in the world will be our eyes as well. Those with a vision really, truly live. We need a vision for this church that we can move forward on, but we also need a vision in our own life that we can hang on to, that we can that will consume our life, everything about us. It will drive us on. It will motivate us. But you only get that when you ask, when you earnestly seek, when you pray, and when you listen to God. Write that email. What would it be? An email to God about vision for you and your family and your job and your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Your word that gives us an understanding of your heart. The heart and the passion that you have for all of us. We look at your disciples and we are so thankful that they were not wonderful people, that they were a bit broken, a bit damaged, a bit like us. We thank you that even though the disciples were not perfect, they did amazing things because they had a vision. They had lived with you for 3 years. They knew your heart. They knew everything that they needed to drive them forward, to motivate them. And Lord God, we ask for that. We ask for that for this church, and we ask for that as individuals, that we would have a vision that would motivate us, that would drive us, that would make us truly alive in Christ. That the injustice we see around us, that the horrors that we see on the telly will be in our thoughts, will be our passion, that we will be able to do something because it's the vision that you give us. We're not all different and we will all have different visions. Help us see what you have for us, for me, for individuals.